Connection!
As far as I'm concerned, the best mode of sharing Christian education, not only at home but anywhere, is example. I'm convinced, again, that Christ's best teaching technique was the way he lived and the way he acted every day.
I think the magic words in the English language are once upon a time. And you can stop children no matter what they're doing at times if you go in and just say over a speaker or to them, once upon a time, and they'll stop and listen.
Few biblical pictures are as vivid to us as the scene of Jesus and the children. You'll hear two stories of people trying to bring this picture to life today on Connection. Teach your children well. They're the key to the future. Through them, the key to the kingdom. And he said, I tell you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And he put his arms round them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Teach your children. It's easier said than done, particularly in Christian education. In a moment, we'll return to hear from a woman who's found one way, through storytelling.
Christopher Robin. And I walked along under branches lit up by the moon, posing our questions to Al and Dior as our days disappeared all too soon. But I've wandered much further today than I should, and I can't seem to find my way back to the wood. So help me if you can. Got to get back to the house and move corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin and Hood. Winnie the Pooh doesn't know what to do. Got a honey jar stuck on his nose. He came to me asking help and advice, and from here no one knows where he goes. So I sent him to ask the owl if he's there, how to loosen a jar from the nose of a bear. So help me if can. I've got to get back to the house at New Corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin and Pooh.
You're listening to Connection.
Once upon a time, in a tenement section of a large city, there stood an old neglected factory, which had been unused for many years. On one side was a lean-to of one room, and in that room there lived a family. Not a complete family, for earlier in the winter months, the mother became very ill and passed
Once
away.
Upon a time... Magic words from Mrs. Arthur Styron of Peachtree Road, United Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Magic words for her and the many people who hear her stories throughout the Atlanta area. The story she's just begun is her Christmas story, a story of a poor family who receive unexpected gifts at Christmas, and of a rich man who gains more from giving than he ever imagined. Not an unfamiliar theme, but told in a new and vibrant way.
A man sat in one corner of the room with his face buried in his hands. Oh, my. I hope men can't see us. It was never like this when she was here. I've had a steady job and worked hard all my life.
Much in demand as a storyteller, Mrs. Styron has always been interested in telling stories. Telling stories has helped her teach her own children.
All my life, I have loved telling stories. When I was just a child, I would enjoy telling stories and making them up. I used to make up ghost stories and all kind of stories. And then as my little girl came along, in training Betty, I would use a story that would teach her a lesson about what I was trying to get her to do. And I found that it's a great way to impress your child with doing the right thing at the right time.
Storytelling is a very special gift. In stories are hidden great truths and reflections of ourselves and what we feel is important.
Well, I feel that every person is born with some talent. Sometimes we have to hunt longer to find it, but if God gives us a talent, he expects us to use it. And I have been so blessed in my life to be reared in a religious atmosphere that I'm always happy to take a message of Jesus Christ anywhere that I can. And I find that I can do it through stories and through this kind of service better than any other way.
Mrs. Styron has held many positions of leadership within the church, but she feels that her storytelling has been her greatest contribution.
I've done a great deal of speaking from the pulpits as a lay person follower in the church. I'm invited to speak many times, but I find that my stories are accepted better than my speaking. I think some people will listen to a story when they will not sit down and listen to a sermon. I think a story attracts. I think the magic words in the English language are once upon a time. And you can stop children no matter what they're doing at times. If you go in and just say over a speaker or to them, once upon a time, and they'll stop and listen. So will adults. And I find that many adults will enjoy and use a story and listen to it when they won't listen to sermons. There was a minister who was supposed to pronounce the benediction, and I had given this story, and it is a story that of pathos. And he was so touched with the story that he just sat there, and somebody had to remind him that he was to give the benediction because he was so touched by the story that he was sobbing.
The stories that Jesus told are among the greatest in Western thought, and he used storytelling most effectively.
The story of the prodigal son is the most perfect story in all literature. It contains every single thing that is required in a perfect story, and it has been called the most perfect story ever written. Pathos and joy and, of course, sadness and pathos too. Selfishness and unselfishness and rejoicing. You can find that whole thing in the prodigal son. And degradation, most anything you can mention, you'll find that in that story of the prodigal son.
Mrs. Arthur Styron of Atlanta, Georgia, connecting people to people, people to faith.
It was the joy and the comfort that comes to the heart of a person when he renders a kind and a loving service to his fellow man.
You're listening to Connection.
Through the windless wells of wonder, by the throbbing light machine, in the tea trance or orders from the king and queen. Songs to aging children come.
Songs to aging children come.
Aging children, I am one. People hurry by so quick. Don't they hear the melodies in the chiming and the clicking and the laughing harmonies? Songs to aging children come.
Songs to aging children come.
Aging children, I am. Some come dark and just like dying. Crows and ravens whistling, lines of weeping, strings of crying, so much sadness ending. Songs to raging children come, raging children. Dying roses, will their perfume rot so dear to me? Songs to aging children come, this is why.
Some of you may remember that a couple of weeks ago we asked our friend Bruce Newman for some help in visualizing the faces of hunger through a little drama piece. Bruce is an actor, and we've asked him back today to have his character of Josh Greenson give us some of his thinking about Christmas. Here's Bruce.
And my name's Josh Greenson. Now, you may have heard me on this program before. Now, I've been giving some thought to Christmas. It's almost here, you know. Already folks around here start to run around all crazy-like, in a real dither, shopping and making a big to-do, having a good time. Now, that's all real fine. But sometimes I think people forget why they're doing those things. They've got sort of a knee-jerk reaction to all those commercials on the television. Yep. Well, now, like I said, I've been giving some thought to Christmas and what it all means. Anyway, I ran across this bit of writing by James Agee in the local paper. They was using it as filler in the classifieds. But for me, it really hit the nail on the head. Here, I'll read it for you. And every child who is born, under no matter what circumstances, and of no matter what parents, the potentiality of the human race is born again. And in him, too, once more, and of each of us, our terrific responsibility toward human life, toward the utmost idea of goodness, of the horror of error, and of God. Real pretty, ain't it? And for me, that's what Christmas is. With each new baby, we get another chance. And the baby Jesus made that where it could happen. The birth of every child is like Christmas. Now that's what makes me happy about Christmas. God cares for every little child like he cared for his own. Now that's important to me. 'Cause if Christmas don't mean something to you every day, if it don't get you here where you live, then it don't mean nothing at all.
Bruce Newman as Josh Greenson. This is Connection, and we'll return in a moment with the Bartlett family of Albuquerque, New Mexico, a family with an exceptional story to tell through example.
Hush, abide, don't you cry. Go to sleep, little baby. When you wake, you shall and grays, pintos and bays, all the pretty little horses. Way down yonder in the meadow, poor little baby crying mama. Birds and the butterflies sweater round his eyes. Poor little baby crying, Mama. Hush-a-bye, don't you cry. Go to sleepy little baby. When you wake, you shall have horses, Dapples and Grays, Pintos and Bays, all the pretty little horses. Hush-a-bye, don't you cry. Go to sleepy little baby.
Welcome back to Connection. Jesus said, "Whoever receives one of these children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." Julian and Margaret Bartlett of St. Stephen's United Methodist Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, have heard these words and have opened their hearts and home to children in special need. How many of us have heard the ever-increasing reports of abused and neglected children and have thought, "What a shame! If only I could do something for these children! If only I could!" Well, Julian and Margaret have. Over the past 6 years, they've been mother and father to 9 children. At the time we talked to them, they had 2 foster children, 2 adopted children, and their only natural child living at home. What is it about the Christian faith, or a commitment to it, that brings people to care for children who are not their own, or even for their own children, for that matter?
My Christian commitment to try as best I can to live a life that exemplifies what I understood Christ tried to teach the people in his day and down through the ages. We've tried to understand through the Scriptures the idea of love being the most important thing. As he said, how can you love God if you don't love your brother? You've never seen God and you've seen your brother.
It makes me realize that our family is not just those persons who live under one roof or inside of 4 walls, but our family are all those persons that we touch. Persons in need, wherever they are, whether they're down the street. We quite often quickly think of persons in need as persons who live in other countries or in faraway places and don't look right around the corner and see the abused and neglected child.
Julian, a computer programmer, and Margaret, a preschool teacher, feel the heavy responsibility of what they're doing. But they accept it graciously. They recognize what is being given to the children.
We are providing an outlet for boys and girls who, for a reason most often not of their own making, cause them to be separated from their natural parents. And to realize that we can provide an atmosphere that is more loving and more understanding than the one out of which they came, to me, is an awesome responsibility, and yet one that I feel very glad we're able to do. To see boys and girls who can come in our home, and in the case of our 6-year-old who's been here 4 years, to realize that when he came, he could fall from the top of the jungle gym, hurt himself physically, and never shed a tear because he knew better than to do that in his natural home. He knew that to cry was a sign that something worse would happen to him, and to realize that he's been able to come out of that and now I can cry at the drop of a hat like any other child is very gratifying to me, just to know that he's able to be free to be himself.
The more we give of ourselves, the more we find ourselves. The more we love, the more we find love. Margaret and Julian know this principle well, so they let their family grow through the growing need of children. Margaret shares the simple yet profound joy she received from pouring love into the frame and person of a small boy.
I think that one of the things that we're feeling most proud of now is the youngest of the children that we have at present, who is a foster child, who is cerebral palsy and seizure disordered. and who came to us at the age of 3, unable to talk, was not walking very well. His perception of being able to clear a doorway and walk through it quite often led him into hitting the wall. He is now entering public school in special classes, but will be able to be educated. He plays with any other children in the neighborhood. He never stops running, let alone walking, and can carry on a conversation with anyone, and we're very proud of him. My family grows and changes as children have needs.
The Bartletts believe that the best mode of Christian education for children, and for all of us, is one of say and do. Though they know the difficulty of such an ideal, they've also tasted the fruits of their endeavor.
As far as I'm concerned, the best mode of sharing Christian education, not only at home but anywhere, is example. I'm convinced, again, that Christ's best teaching technique was the way he lived and the way he acted every day. His parables help people see things. His teachings by word of mouth help people. But what he did and the way he responded to people was the all-important thing as far as I'm concerned. And I hope that's the kind of effect we have on our children in our home, our children in our church school classes, our children wherever we touch them.
We can say or preach to our children and then destroy it in a moment's actions. And it's not easy. I mean, you know, we all fall down on our face and then have to pick up again. But I think that the children learn that too, that is human, and that to forgive each other is Christian love.
Margaret and Julian Bartlett, connecting the love of their faith with love needy children. This is Connection.
Time to realize that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder.
Today on Connection, you've heard from three people connecting their faith to children, and through children, to us all. During this Advent season, we often think of children. They enjoy Christmas so. But we should think of children for another reason as well. God came among us through His Son, first as a child. And through each child, He comes again. Brought to you each week at this time by the United Methodist Church. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to us at Post Office Box 6, Nashville, Tennessee, 37202. That's Connection, Post Office Box 6, Nashville, Tennessee, 37202. I'm Bill Richards.